Welcome everyone back to another Lakers Outsiders podcast. Again, coming to you guys after a victory. These are a lot more fun to get ready for after a Lakers win. Hani, you were tweeting from the account tonight. I almost had a heart attack. What was your health status during the end of that game?
A lot of clenching of places that people don't want to know about. A lot of life flashing before my eyes when Derrick Rose pulled up for another three at the end of the game. And a lot of disappointment because I thought we were going to talk about Nevada basketball on this podcast, but apparently we're talking about the Lakers.
Go Pack. You say that with a UCLA Bruins beanie on. Yeah, I never thought I'd see the day that I'd be terrified that Derrick Rose was open for a three, but I was terrified when Derrick Rose was open for a three. Thankfully, as I tweeted after the game or after that shot, better late than never for regression to the mean, because tonight was absurd from Derrick Rose. The Timberwolves set a franchise record for made three-pointers. They were 20 of 40. Derrick Rose, who I should have looked up his career career shooting average, is 7 of 9, and that includes a three he missed at the end. Hits a pair of ridiculous threes to even make this a game when it looked like the Lakers were pulling away late.
Are you ready for his career number?
No, I'm probably going to be annoyed.
29.8% from three for his career.
Yeah, shot 77.8% tonight. It feels like in the two games that we have played the Timberwolves this year, they are like 50 of 60 from three. Jimmy Butler was 5 of 8 tonight. I think he was 5 of 6 in the first game.
Gibson hit three.
Yeah, Taj Gibson had hit four threes all year and hit three tonight. I was ready to be very annoyed that we were going to have to come on this podcast and say, well, it's a moral victory because we hung with a team that was shooting a franchise best. But thankfully, the Lakers hang on. And I'll start with my takeaway first because this is kind of leading into what we were talking about. They hang on largely because I think one of the biggest positives tonight was Tyson Chandler. He ended the game. He had, I think, one or two offensive rebounds. He had the one play where he basically fought for a rebound that went out of bounds. The Lakers burned like 40-some seconds off the clock at the end of the game simply because Tyson Chandler was in there fighting for rebounds. He only finished with 2 points. He had 9 rebounds, 5 of them offensive. The Lakers out-rebound the Timberwolves 47-40 tonight. What did you think? I didn't expect Tyson Chandler to, one, be this good, and two, to close the game. I guess, what did you think of his performance tonight?
He looked really good. I was, optimistic about what he would bring to the Lakers once they signed him, because they basically just needed a big body to spell JaVale so that he wouldn't have to play 35 minutes a night. And Chandler came in and he did way more than that. He was really good defensively. I think Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, this goes for JaVale and Chandler, but Towns shot only 5 of 16 from the field with 13 points, 9 rebounds. So they really kept him in check together. And then offensively, I thought he was setting a lot of really good screens, getting guys open. That's something that I don't think people really talked about when Chandler got signed, because the whole focus has been on the defense, rightfully so, but he's going to be impactful offensively as well. And then you mentioned that the rebounding was the biggest part. I think that last possession, it was the last Lakers possession before Hart's free throws to ice the game. And I believe they had the ball with 1:06 left, and they gave it back to the Wolves with about 9.2 seconds left. And that was Chandler getting 2 offensive rebounds on tip backs. And again, like you said, fighting for one that went out of bounds. So in a way, he kind of got 3 offensive rebounds on that singular possession. And it was huge. That was honestly maybe the reason why they won that game, because he got Kuzma a couple free throws. He made one of them. And then Rose missed that three to end the game. But yeah, he was enormous. I don't know if he's always going to be this good. It's obviously just a one game sample. We don't know how much he has left. He's obviously lost a lot of his athleticism since the Dallas days when he won the championship and all of that. But I think for what the Lakers need out of him, he's going to be really important. And there's going to be days where he might even be better than JaVale, or at least more impactful, and he's going to close out games, and that's totally fine.
So I was looking up, you mentioned Lakers call a timeout with 1:06 left after Derrick Rose hit a three. LeBron misses a deep three-pointer. Tyson Chandler gets the offensive rebound. Kuzma misses a three-pointer. And then it's the play where, as we said, fighting for a loose ball. Ball goes out of bounds. It goes down as a team offensive rebound. Right. And then LeBron misses another three-pointer. Tyson Chandler gets another offensive rebound. And then, as you said, Kuzma gets fouled. They ran almost a full minute off the clock. It was 57 seconds they ran off the clock, largely because Tyson Chandler was three clutch offensive rebounds and really masked another not great performance offensively down the stretch for the Lakers. Right. Yeah. It seemed like they were really, really confused by this 14-second shot clock. LeBron a couple times is calling for screens with 5 seconds left on the shot clock. So that's an adjustment period everybody will have to get used to. But, yeah, Tyson Chandler was – incredible, better than I could have ever imagined, especially in his first game. He was here yesterday, so one practice, one shoot around, comes right in and plays like this is more than I think anybody could have expected. I gave my takeaway. What's your kind of positive, negative, whatever takeaway that you have from the game?
I think the other really huge positive that you can take away from this game is how Brandon Ingram looked in the second half, especially. First off, it kind of looked like the same Ingram we've seen since he's been inserted into the starting lineup after he came back from the suspension, where he kind of just looks lost. He's not super comfortable offensively playing the two guard spot next to LeBron and Kuzma and trying to get his shots. The second half, he looked a lot better. Overall, he ended up with 20 points on 14 shots. He had 6 assists, 5 rebounds. He was doing a little bit of everything. Defensively, he's been great since he came back. He had a steal and 2 blocks. I haven't looked it up, but anecdotally, it just seemed like he was giving Jimmy Butler a lot of fits. Even though, again, like you said, Butler shot really well from three, but he wasn't really getting into the paint very often. And I think a lot of that credit should go to Ingram. And even that last play where Rose got that three, it was a fairly open look, and he had been hitting more contested looks, but it kind of speaks to the confidence that Luke has in Ingram, that he put him guarding Rose to finish out that defensive series. And, you know, he got hit on a couple of screens, but he mostly recovered. And then Tyson Chandler kind of stepped up to at least bother Rose a little bit to kind of force that loss, force that miss. But yeah, Ingram he looked so much more comfortable in the second half, getting looks that he's good at making. He had a couple of catch and shoot threes that just looked pure, and he made both of them, and it was amazing. That's something that they're going to need him to do more often, especially when he's playing alongside LeBron. But yeah, there's been a lot of talk over the last few days about how he and LeBron don't really mesh well, and to an extent that's true, and they haven't been playing they haven't been very good together, Ingram especially. But you know, that second half kind of at least gives you a little bit of optimism of what that duo can do together based on their versatility.
Ingram was incredible in the second half. He was iffy, I think, during stretches of the first half. But yeah, that second half tonight, and then that I thought the fourth quarter, he was incredible. He had that, you mentioned his three-point shooting. He had that 1-3 late where Rondo set him up for a three-pointer that he just stepped into and buried in rhythm. It's one game and he hasn't done a lot of it, but if that somehow becomes a version of Ingram that we see going forward, holy cow. Yeah. He, second half tonight, 109 offensive rating, 17.7 net rating. They don't have the matchup data for the Ingram-Butler kind of matchup, but, I mean, Ingram was the primary guy on Jimmy Butler, and in the second half tonight, Butler had an 86.4 offensive rating and a negative 23.2 net rating. So that would suggest that Ingram got the better of the matchup, which is certainly what the eye test seemed to suggest. Yeah, Ingram was immense tonight. I thought he really handled himself well against Butler, who torched the Lakers last time. So to see him step up, especially defensively, force Butler into some contested looks, that was just a really great performance from him. Couple other things worth noting. Josh Hart tonight, especially the first half, was incredible offensively and defensively, I thought. But yeah, particularly offensively, he was 127.8 offensive rating in the first half. And he 5 of 7 from 3 in the first half alone. Or no, that was all period. Yeah, I was going to say, that didn't seem right. I think he was 4-4 in the first half. Yeah, he was 4-4 in the first half. He's been consistently the Lakers' best three-point shooter. What did you see from Hart tonight?
Yeah, the three-point shooting is obviously huge. For a team that kind of lacks shooters in general, Hart has been, like you said, the most consistent one. And yeah, he was huge tonight, especially again, like the Wolves shooting threes that well, there's no way you're going to win without kind of getting a little bit of similar luck on threes yourself. And, you know, Hart making his threes was the biggest part of making that advantage for the Wolves as minimal as possible. And, you know, it's not like he doesn't try to get to the rim. He just does pick his spots. And I think that's good because they need him to be a 3-and-D guy, but he'll attack closeouts. He got 6 free throws. A couple of them were on a rebound after that Rose shot, but he did get to the paint a couple of times, especially in transition. And yeah, he looks pretty comfortable out there. And, you know, I'd have to go look back on the lineups that he played in, but I don't remember if we talked about this on a podcast, but I kind of wrote about it. One thing that they've been doing with him is playing him as power forward a little bit recently off the bench because they don't have a lot of size. But he's so much better defending inside than he is on the perimeter, just as kind of a bigger guard, and he doesn't really get pushed around. And that lets him either box out or just get rebounds himself and push in transition. And that's kind of huge in letting those bench lineups play a lot more efficiently and play a lot more fast. And I think that's something that they're going to keep exploiting. But yeah, he was just, you know, phenomenal. And he's had a couple games recently where he hasn't looked very good, especially defensively, but he looked a lot better on that end tonight too. And he guarded Butler pretty well in a couple of those, and he guarded inside a little bit as well.
When he wasn't being basically pushed by Taj Gibson into Butler, into the ref for a foul.
Yes.
I'm looking at the lineups. It doesn't look, and I didn't remember. It doesn't really look like there were any of those four guard lineups where Hart would be defending the power forward.
Right.
I thought at times, I mean, Kuzma, I thought struggled against Towns, and I legitimately had the idea of just put Hart on him.
Right.
Which really says a lot about how good Hart is defensively in the post, because Towns is a generational talent. So yeah, a huge night from Hart. As you said, he really negated a lot of the advantage that Minnesota was getting 3-point shooting by knocking down some of his own. Him and Kuzma both. Kuzma had a huge three late, had a free throw that it'd been nice if he had 2 free throws, but it still was a big free throw late. Lakers shot 11 of 14 at the line, but it felt like the misses were, painful. The other big thing, at least for the Lakers, the thing Twitter is up in arms about after the game, Rajon Rondo closes the game tonight as the point guard. Lonzo Ball only plays 21 minutes. I'll start with this. I will admit that I didn't have a box score pulled up or anything during the game. Just from an eye test standpoint, I thought this was the most engaged Lonzo looked. Aside from maybe that second half against Denver, maybe the rest of the season, this was as engaged as he looked. He was grabbing rebounds. He was active defensively. He set up Ingram for a couple dunks. He threw down one of his own. And I thought he was playing well. I also will admit that my view of Rondo was possibly tainted by a couple of mid-range pull-up jumpers he shot, in which I audibly yelled words that we can't repeat on this podcast.
It's after.
Now, yeah, we'll get a special graphic for the Lakers Outsiders After Dark. Now, having said all that, the final stats tonight, Rondo played 27 minutes, had a 124.5 offensive rating, 105.7 defensive rating, which comes out to an 18.9 net rating. Lonzo played 21 minutes, had a 97.9 offensive rating, 112.5 defensive rating, so a negative 14.5 rating. I was a little surprised by how bad it was, but I'll start with this. We've mentioned on this podcast before that this is a team in win now mode, and the years of kind of development and whatnot are gone. So the idea that Luke should be obligated to play Lonzo Ball is not something I necessarily agree with. I want him to play the lineup that gets the victory, and we got the victory tonight. And it was, like I said, or like the stats said, it wasn't like Rondo played bad. Rondo played well, and the Lakers got the win. And Luke's coaching for his job. Like, we're less than a week removed from reports that him and Magic had a meeting where Magic is telling him, giving him all kinds of edicts that he wants him to do. So, I mean, Luke has that in his mind, and right now they trust Rajon Rondo to run the offense, and Rajon Rondo looked good tonight. So I was totally fine with Rondo closing the game. I thought the couple of threes Derrick Rose hit were perfectly contested. Lonzo wasn't going to change that.
Yeah.
The one he hit with Rondo's hand right in his face, like there was nothing that Lonzo could have done differently. So I think it was all a little overblown because we want to see Lonzo out there. He was kind of the anointed one, but I don't necessarily think he should be out there unless his play merits it. And clearly tonight, I don't think his play merited it. I mean, do you share the same thoughts? Do you agree, disagree with that?
I mostly agree. So the thing with Lonzo is this. He is 100%, I agree, he is the better player than Rondo. I don't think it's very close. The other thing with Lonzo is that for most of this season, he has not looked very engaged during games. And I'm not sure exactly what that is. I don't know if he's feeling out how to play with the new guys. I don't know if it's a confidence level thing, but he hasn't looked like that. Tonight, I think he, again, statistically, it wasn't very good, but he, like you said, he had one of his better games in terms of just looking like, you know, an engaged Lonzo, which is a really good player. And he showed that defensively, especially. He had three steals and countless other good possessions. And so, like, I think I have no problem with Luke not closing out with him because, you need a combination of offense and defense. If he's not going to be taking shots, if he's not going to be doing the right thing offensively, he's a liability on that end, so he shouldn't be playing. And Rondo, first half he was kind of abysmal. Second half he was a little bit better at just setting guys up. I do have an issue with – I don't think Rondo should have been on the court during that last possession, which I think he was, but I'd have to make sure. But during that missed Rose three, because he's just not a good enough defender. And you can bring in Lonzo for one possession to play defense. Honestly, like I tweeted this during the game. I think they should have been closing out with Josh Hart over both of them and just play without a point guard and have LeBron or Ingram be your point guard, your nominal point guard. That's what I would have done in that situation. But like, there wasn't a perfect answer either way. You either bring in Lonzo, who's a lot better defensively, but offensively just didn't have it going in terms of his shot. And he wasn't really looking to get his own shot anyway. Or you bring in Rondo, who was better offensively, at least getting setting guys up. He had 10 assists, but defensively is a liability. Or you bring in Hart, who, you know, isn't really a point guard. He's hitting his threes, but you always wonder about his perimeter defense. So I don't think there was a perfect answer. I think people freak out about this stuff a lot more than they should and stress themselves out over something that I think is very fluid. And I have no problem with it being fluid. I think Luke should be looking to find the lineups that work. I have, you know, I can gripe with certain lineups that he plays, certain things that he doesn't do in terms of staggering guys. And yes, I want Lonzo to play more minutes because I think he's a better player. But I can't really fault him for going with Rondo over the stretch, especially after they got a win and he was kind of, you know, it's results oriented, and maybe that's not the right way to look at it, but results matter, and he got the result.
That's a big thing. It's, I think it's fluid, and we've seen that this year. It's really a whoever's playing best type of thing, which is what we said with Hart and KCP early in the year, and we've gotten that with Hart. Hart outplayed KCP, and I think that's what's going to take at this point for Lonzo to finish games over Rondo's. He's going to have to clearly outplay Rondo. And tonight, being engaged, he was 1 of 6 from the field and 0 of 3 from three. I mean, as engaged as he might have been, he, I don't want to call him a non-factor, but he struggled offensively. So I think that's kind of your that I can't remember the exact words Walton used. I don't want to try to go find the quote, but he said something to the effect of Rondo was being a true point guard or being a better point guard or something. So that's what they were looking for. And there was also quotes from Luke and Tyson Chandler and Rondo saying that Rondo was directing Tyson Chandler where to go defensively. Right. And I think that played a big part in it as well. Chandler clearly had a huge impact on the game, and Rondo was out there kind of letting him know where he should be. He said basically he was telling him sets that he knew Tyson Chandler would know. So this isn't as cut and dry as a Lonzo's a better player, he should be playing type of argument. I think in the grand scheme of things, as a talent standpoint, I agree that Lonzo is better. He wasn't playing better tonight. Rondo was playing better. And especially with Chandler on the floor, Rondo helped the defense more in that regard.
Right.
So, yeah, that's all I think we need to say on that. We're both in agreement. It could very easily, this upcoming back-to-back, Lonzo could close both games. Which, before we get to that note and preview those two games, the one other thing I wanted to talk about, which we've kind of alluded to a little bit, really just want to talk about how big of a win I think this was. Like I said, I came in here expecting to talk about a podcast in which it was a moral victory, another one, which are frustrating to talk about. Because especially with the way Derrick Rose was shooting down the stretch, it just didn't feel like it was the Lakers' night. But this team hung on. Tyson Chandler, like we've mentioned, played a huge role in that. They executed down the stretch. I tweeted at one point, the offensive possession before Rose's two threes, the Lakers ran a set play with under 2 minutes on the clock. And I can't remember them doing that before. And I wish I was joking. And, like, it's stuff like that where as poorly as they executed that 57-second stretch that we talked about earlier, the execution before that was good. And that's how they got a lead to where they could absorb back-to-back Derrick Rose threes and still be ahead. So, I know there was a quote when the reporters were waiting on Luke Walton. They could hear people screaming and yelling in excitement from the Lakers locker room. I think this is a huge win for a team that badly needed it. What's just your kind of thoughts on the Lakers hanging on and getting this win tonight?
Yeah, I mean, after the game they had on Sunday, which was probably their worst game of the season in more ways than one, where they, you know, the effort wasn't there and they mostly got blown out before making it a little close in the fourth quarter. I think they, you're right. They desperately needed a win. They have a much easier schedule in November. They have about like five games against teams that aren't very good. And so far against those teams, they've only had a couple of those games with the Mavericks and the Suns, and they've taken care of business in those. So, you know, getting winning those like toss-up games against teams like the Wolves, who are a little bit more in your territory, but, you know, winning those games is so important for the playoff race and for kind of getting their confidence going and getting used to playing with each other. And it's always going to be a work in progress, but playing as well as they did to, you know, withstand a team making 23s on 40 attempts is huge. You know, you never expect a game where Derrick Rose is going 7-9 from three and Taj Gibson is going 3-5 from three and Jimmy Butler is 5-6 from three. Like, that sort of stuff doesn't happen very often. And they were clearly the better team because they were able to win with all that stuff going against them. So, I think it's huge from that perspective. I think it's huge that they found themselves a backup center that they can hopefully rely on for the rest of the season. And, you know, I think it's also huge that Hart and Ingram had good games. So I think now, you know, looking forward to the next couple of games, if they can get guys like Lonzo also getting his confidence going and just kind of adding little pieces that they're missing right now and, you know, getting putting some wins together and getting some streaks going, I think they're getting really close to where they want to be.
Yeah, Luke actually had a quote that said the team that the Lakers were in the second half is the team that they want to be. And I think this is big, as you mentioned, with the momentum. They're going into a stretch of a lot of winnable games coming up. So to get a win, kind of heading into that, set yourself up for what should be a strong stretch. I think that was big tonight. So and that stretch that we mentioned this weekend, the Lakers have 2 days off before heading to a very short road trip to Sacramento on Saturday. And then I believe it is it Atlanta on the road on Sunday?
No, Atlanta at home on Sunday.
Okay, so, I wrote it wrong. I was going to say that's a heck of a turnaround. So, yeah, Sacramento on the road on Saturday, back home Atlanta on Sunday. What are you kind of looking for from those two games coming up, Honey?
Well, it's going to be super fast-paced for both of them. The Hawks and Kings, like the Lakers, love running. They have young teams. With the Kings, De'Aaron Fox looks amazing this year, and he's been kind of leading the charge with playing so fast. The Hawks have Trae Young, who's a rookie, but he's kind of been lighting teams on fire. So they're going to get a lot of running in, and especially in that second game against Atlanta, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of react to that, given that it's going to be the second game of a back-to-back. My main thing is right now, though, the biggest thing I want to see change is seeing Lonzo play better. Especially offensively, if I can just see him get engaged, get his confidence going, get to the rim and get some easy buckets before he's, you know, focusing on that three-point shot that's kind of gone down a little bit after his hot start for the year. He's going to have an opportunity to do that with all the pace and all the running, and that's something he's comfortable with. So hopefully we get a couple of good games from him and he can build off of that moving forward.
That was honestly going to be the thing I was looking for in these two games as well. Is it seems like the only thing not really clicking with this team right now is Lonzo. Aside really from that second half against Denver, he's struggled for the last five, six games. So yeah, these are two games. As long as he's not ducking De'Aaron Fox, these are two games that should kind of play to his strengths, as you said.
Yeah. And the Kings have honestly been really good to start this year. The Hawks haven't, but the Kings have been really, really good. So I'm hoping that they don't have any of the funny business, as our friend Reichel would call it. But
Yeah, and then after the Kings game, I mean, coming back home to face a rookie point guard should theoretically be a good matchup for him. So, yeah, if they can get him rolling, get him back in the groove. And like we said, he was engaged tonight. It was really just more the effectiveness part.
Yeah.
So if you can kind of merge the two of those together, get him engaged and executing, this team really could go on a run here that could really kind of turn around the start of the season. Because really back-to-back wins here, they're back over 500 and things really start to look a lot rosier. So yeah, we will hopefully be with you guys after at least one, if not both of the games this weekend. Hopefully again, after two wins, I didn't mention it at the beginning, but if you're not already, subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at Lakers Outsiders, like us on Facebook, visit the website. We need to take a look to see, as we've said before, we're keeping track of records for whoever's tweeting. Hani picked up a big win tonight. I said this morning that there's a chance the Lakers might lose, so I was going to let Hani tweet.
Big mistake.
Yeah, well, you live and you learn. I might tweet both games this weekend. so, but whoever has the worst record amongst us will do some sort of forfeit, which you guys will pick if you leave us leave it as a review on iTunes. We would greatly appreciate it. We'll pick something that you guys have suggested. We need to go check those out to see what you guys have suggested. So, yeah, be sure to leave us a review there. Make sure you're following us all over on social media. But outside of that, we should be back this weekend. So for Hani, this is Jacob signing off. Have a great one, everyone.